The book of Daniel is rich with powerful insight on how we can change the way we live for Jesus. Let's open God's Word together and discover. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, seminary professor, and pastor. And today, let him be your pastor in these moments of opening God's Word and gaining insight. We'd also love to be your encouragers to pray for you. 866-899-WORD will connect you with one of us, not just now, but 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you, and get you connected with some great resources that'll help you grow in your faith. Now let's open our hearts together as we study the book of Daniel with Dr. Don Wilton on the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word. The
Encouraging Word. I want you to turn with me to a couple of passages. Go with me to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15. Now you're going to really need your Bibles here. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15. Look what happened. Talking about the woman on the beast. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw," did you get that? "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages." Now, I don't intend to read the next verse, but you can't help noticing it because we're going to come back to it. "The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Whatever you do, don't let go of Daniel chapter 7, okay? Can we just make that a deal? Go back to Daniel chapter 7 quickly. Look at verse 7. Go first of all back to verse 5, the end part. It was told, "Get up and eat your fill of flesh." Go to chapter 7. "It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there was before me another horn which came up among them." Listen to chapter 17 of the book of Daniel in verse 16. "The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will eat her flesh and they will burn her with fire." Who's caught in the middle of this? The waters. What are the waters? Who are the waters? In the midst of the Mediterranean, which symbolically represents all the people. These people find themselves in conflict with one another. All right? Go to Isaiah. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 57. And you want to keep a finger in Isaiah there for just a little while, because we're going to go back there on a number of occasions. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20. The Bible says, "But the wicked are like the," what does that say there? "The wicked are like the tossing or the turbulent sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud." Keep your finger there and go to Isaiah chapter 17. Go back to Isaiah chapter 17. This is all going to tie up in just a moment, folks, but it's very important for us to see this. Isaiah chapter 17. I love to hear all those pages turning. In chapter 17, verses 12 and 13, listen to what the word says here. The word says, "Oh, the raging of many nations. They rage like the raging sea. Oh, the uproar of the peoples. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away. They are driven before the wind like the chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror, and before the morning, they are gone." Just want to give you some background to the consistency with which scriptures equates the sea and the turbulence of the sea with people like you and me and the conflict in which we find ourselves. Now, what Daniel is going to do in his vision here, he's going to actually superimpose nations upon this conflict, and it's not going to take much imagination to understand where this conflict comes from. And so it is that the first beast that Daniel sees coming up out of the sea. Well, what does it mean to come up out of the sea? It means two things, all right? Coming up out of the sea means that the beast is one of us. He's coming up out of the peoples. Are you with me tonight? All right? But it also geographically could mean, well, that he's coming up out of the great sea, which means that he's going to rise up out of the Mediterranean region. That is why there is a strong argument, strong school of thought, that suggests that the Antichrist is going to come from the Roman region or from the Romanic tribes. And I think there's a lot of validity in that, even though I don't think that you and I could be absolutely definitive at that point. But we're gonna look at that together. All right, let's look at this now. I've given you some background here. I want to read that verse again, just to help you if you haven't got completely confused by now. All right, verse 2. In my vision, at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. Well, let's have a look at these four beasts. And folks, I can tell you right now, we're not going to get through these four beasts tonight. We're going to have to let them prowl for a couple more nights. All right. I don't want to rush through this. There's too much here. And if we don't do this properly, we don't stand a chance down the road. we may never recover. We're going to get eaten alive by these lions and leopards. All right. Beast number one is the lion. Let's go to verse 4. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off. It was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of man was given to it. Now, let's just look at this. This is fascinating. The first thing that we've got to understand is that historically and currently, most nations have as their symbol some kind of animal. For example, the lion. Well, do you know that many of the teams that play representing nations are named after animals? For example, the British Lions. That's what they called. They called the British Lions. The South Africans, where I was born, anybody know what they called? The South African Springboks. Thank you. The Springboks, that's a deer. All right. What about Australia? The Australian Wallabies. The Australian Wallabies. All right. Not wombats or koala bears. That's too soft for rugby. They called the Australian Wallabies. What is the American team called? The American Eagles. You've got it. American Eagles. What's the symbol of America? It's the eagle. What about the Russians? The bear, the Russian bear, it's a symbol. Everywhere you can go, You're going to see the Russian bear. Folks, we could go on and on and on and on. We could talk about lions and leopards and cheetahs and eagles. Even to this very day, many of the school teams that we have playing into school and into collegiate, the Auburn Tigers and all these different animals that you get, they represent. But nations are particularly symbolic and effective. All right, now having given you that background, here Daniel says the first was like a lion. Now what part of speech, what figure of speech is that? That's not a metaphor. It's a simile. That is a simile. It's using the word like or as. In other words, it's almost a metaphor. A metaphor is a direct comparison. Daniel is not saying that the first beast was a lion. He's saying it was like a lion. And as soon as you get the word like or as, and you've got a comparative analysis, you are immediately invited to ask a question. Why is this nation compared to a lion? But this is a rather unusual looking lion. If we were to do a map or some kind of drawing of this lion, we're going to have some interesting time. It's coming out of the water. We know that the lion was the symbol of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar. We know that. The Word of God settled that for us back in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. And in historical writings, it is the symbol of Babylon. But there was something about this lion that was interesting. First of all, let's just think for a moment about a lion. What is a lion symbolical of? It is a symbolical animal, power and strength, the king of the jungle. I want you to think about Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to think about the Babylonian Empire. Just think about it. Now, turn with me very quickly to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 29. That's just prior to the book of Daniel for those of you that are struggling. Ezekiel chapter 29 and verses 3 through 5. Ezekiel 29 verses 3 through 5. Listen to what the Word of God says.
Forgive me, I don't do that on purpose. I know we'll get back to that interesting moment with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment as we conclude today's message. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you. Matter of fact, so many folks have been asking about the Ann Graham Lotz book, Jesus in Me, all about experiencing the Holy Spirit as a constant, consistent companion. Boy, the book's on our website right now at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And as you invest in that book, you also invest in our ministry that every single day seeing people give their hearts to Jesus Christ for the first time. It's a neat partnership, and we pray you would consider discovering more online at tewonline.org. If you've got questions, give us a call, 866-899-9673. Again, that number's to connect with resources that in part, but mostly, we just want to be praying with you and for you. That's 866-899-9673. Now let's get back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Speak to him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you great monster, lying among your streams. And I'm not going to read all the rest of it, but I'm going to tell you that in this instance, Egypt and the Egyptian tyrannies were compared to a great monster. Go to chapter 32, Ezekiel chapter 32 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 32 and verse 2. Son of man, take up a lament concerning Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, you are like a lion among the nations. You are like a monster in the seas, thrashing about in your streams, churning the water with your feet and muddying the streams. Go with me to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Turn back there with me very quickly. Psalm 74 and verse 13. Psalm 74 and verse 13. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave him food. I gave him as food to the creatures of the desert, etc., etc. I'm not giving you these passages in their context because that's not our purpose. All I want to illustrate to you, and that's just three of them. There are many of them right throughout the text. But I'm going to tell you that right throughout Scripture, and particularly in the book of Revelation, you're going to find repeatedly how that animals are used to depict people and kings and a moral character. A moral character. You see, we've got to see what is taking place as that which stands in opposition to everything that God is. Well, something interesting happened here. This animal represented power and strength, the lion. Go with me quickly to the book of Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah. Chapter 49, Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 19, show you something rather interesting here. And again, I'm not going to read this whole passage, but it's important to understand it in context, otherwise we're not going to understand the symbolism behind the lion. Verse 19 through 22. Like a lion coming up from Jordan's thickets to a rich pasture land, I will chase Edom from its land in an instant. Who is the chosen one I will appoint for this? Who is like me and who can challenge me? What shepherd can stand against me? Do you notice how the shepherd and the lion are put in opposition here? Therefore, hear what the Lord has planned against Edom and what he has purposed against those who live in Teman. The young of the flock will be dragged away. He will completely destroy their pasture because of them. At the sound of their fall, the earth will tremble. Their cry will resound to the Red Sea. Look, an eagle will soar and swoop down, spreading its wings over Bozra. In that day, the hearts of Edom's warriors will be like the heart of a woman in labor. Now, we've got an interesting cross-reference here because in verse 4, Daniel says the first was like a lion and it had the wings of an eagle. What do wings do? What does an eagle do? It means that it can truly fly. That's exactly what happened in the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire flew like no other empire had ever flown before. The Word of God says, I watched until its wings were torn off. Something was taken away from the Babylonian Empire. Here it was, a lion, a symbol of power and strength. It could fly. It could do most unimaginable things. It could conquer the earth. But Daniel in his vision watches, and all of a sudden those wings, the capability to soar above the heavens and do great things, is removed. It is taken away from Babylon. That's what the Word of God tells us. And listen what happens. And it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man. All right, I want you to go back to Daniel chapter 4. Let's remind ourselves about Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Just to remind you of where we've been already. Chapter 4 and verse 33. And verse 33. Remember, all of this in verse 28 happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 33, he was the most high sovereign. They ruled and reigned over everything. They were in charge. They were really in control. Immediately, verse 33, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. In other words, folks, he had his wings clipped. He was brought down to size. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Did you see that there? Now, what happened when his sanity was restored? Here he was high and lifted up. He was the Most High. He thought he was higher than God. He saw Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon conquered the world. God came along and clipped his wings, brought him down, made him feed upon the earth like an animal, put him back on his two feet. And after he recognized the sovereignty of God, God gave back to him the heart of a man. God gave back to him the very essence of what it means to serve the Lord. And so it is in verse 36 of chapter 4. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and my splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. And verse 37, and so it is that now I, King Nebuchadnezzar, having regained the heart of a man, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now, hold on a second, folks. What is the central theme about the prophecy of Daniel? The central theme is the sovereignty of God. God is in control. God places whom he wants to place, and God removes whom he wants to remove. God honors those who honor him. And here we have the first vision. Remember, we're looking at prophecy in microcosm. We're looking at the rise of the Babylonian Empire, which is like a lion, had wings to soar, got to the point at which, under Nebuchadnezzar's leadership, they said, excuse me, we are greater than anybody else. I, King Nebuchadnezzar, I am the sovereign God of the universe. Bow down and worship me. And if you don't bow down and worship me, I'm going to put you into the fiery furnace. I'm going to make a graven image of myself. And you bow down and you worship me. And if you don't, I'm going to execute you and I'm going to rule with a rod of iron. And God says, you think you are the king, do you? Let me show you what I'll do. I'm going to clip your wings. I'm going to cut them and I'm going to bring you down to earth and I'm going to make you become like one of the animals until his sanity was restored. And when his sanity was restored, he returned back to the God Most High. And it is Nebuchadnezzar himself who makes that most dramatic statement at the end of chapter 4. Those who walk in pride, God is able to humble. All right? Now, let's look at verse 4 one more time. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on two feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. This prophecy is God's perspective. And folks, what we're going to discover as we move through this prophecy, as we begin to discover nations after nations, and then as we begin to move into that which has yet to be, we're going to be able to easily decide what hasn't happened yet. This has already happened. We're going to discover something. You can bring on the collapse of the stock market. You can bring on the death of my spouse. You can interrupt my life in any way you want to. But there's one thing that I know. God is in control. God is in control.
Amen. If the Lord has been stirring your heart as Dr. Wilton was praying or as he was preaching today, I pray you would not let this moment pass. This has been a great week of Bible study here on The Encouraging Word, but let's don't launch into the weekend. If God's called you to make a change, to make an adjustment, let us pray with you about that. Our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And before we get away, perhaps the most important moments from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, is next.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If you join the family of God, if you've given your heart to Christ in these moments together, let us put some wonderful resources in your hands that'll help you grow. They're absolutely free. Dr. Don's prepared them for you. If you've given your heart to Christ or come home and rededicated your life to Jesus, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We also have some wonderful resources for those of us that have maybe been walking with Christ for some time now and would like to have more of a deeper walk, a deeper encouragement from the Lord. As a matter of fact, this book, Jesus in Me, is all about that.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey. Someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us. Someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to The Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus in Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus in Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus in Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
That number again is 866-899-9673. Yes, we'll connect you with that resource, the Jesus in Me book, but also we would love to connect with you to pray with you and for you and have some great free resources to put in your hands as well. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Have a blessed weekend and join us again for The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.
The Encouraging Word broadcast continues to be a blessing in my life. God has truly blessed me through your sermons. Each day I read my Encouraging Word Bible guide or watch your program on Sundays. I desire to be closer and closer to God, closer than I've ever been. I have been disabled and homebound since 2006 and unable to attend my church. I have been deeply blessed by the Encouraging Word broadcast and your ministry. I desire to be a part of your ministry.